So here's what I'd like you to do. Why don't you take me up to date between the last album and now? Tell me a little bit about what led from the album before this one to the one that we're about to talk about.
With, I think after Visitations, the last album, that we'd really felt that we'd gone down a certain road as far as we wanted to, which was, I think that album was really quite intense as well, and so we really felt it was time to kind of reintroduce a more sort of melodic, a bit of a mellower side in some of the songs, and so that was we again recorded this ourselves, and when we did that we sort of experimented a bit more, and I think just we wanted to make it more sort of humorous and more playful.
Now, you did produce Do It Yourself, but tell me a little bit about the mixer.
Well, the mixer was Jakeira King, and he's got a lot of a sort of pop background, and obviously things like Kings of Leon, and we we sort of wanted was for it to be really quite sharp sounding, you know, and perhaps to bring out the melody side to it, and he was really sort of intuitive with that. He latched onto that right from the beginning of it, you know.
Now, I need to know a little bit about the Bristol Charter, and inside the liner notes, and I see that the BFI is making rare footage about, you know, the city on the mercy and all of that. Now, for those of us who are here in America, we probably don't know quite about as much about that, right? But this is exciting things for Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah. This year, 2008, is the Capital of Culture year for Liverpool, and that's an award that goes around Europe, you know, for different cities. And I think for Liverpool, because it's been such a deprived city, that I think, sometimes those type of awards can be a bit phony, you know, don't totally believe in them some of the time, but I think just to help regenerate Liverpool, it's been a good thing, you know, especially culturally.
So you're still making classic albums, but the world is kind of changing around you. So tell me a little bit. You think we'll all just have chips in our heads that can act as iPods and radio receivers someday? You think that's the next thing we're going to do? You'll be, instead of doing a CD, you'll say, okay, here's your thing that goes in your ear.
Yeah, what that goes direct from the writer's head to the listener's head. I think, well, it's everything's certainly getting a lot smaller and more direct, isn't it? So, but I do think people, as a lot of people have said, that people still want something tangible.
Tell me a little bit. It's kind of amazing how what I do, the synergy all kind of comes together, because I presented 6 months ago, I presented Two Nights of Rocky Erickson here in San Francisco. So were you always fans? I mean, because it's interesting, people always try to brand, we talked a little bit about this last time, but everybody tries to brand this band, you know, as a new psychedelic band or whatever. And of course, these categories are kind of ridiculous. But have you always been fans of the 13th Floor Elevators? And what was it like, you know, seeing Rocky at the age of 60 still doing what he does?
Yeah, we've, when you first sort of dig out and discover psychedelic music, that to me, the 13th Floor Elevators really stood out a mile, just because it's kind of blues and R&B based, but it's got, like, I suppose the riffs and obviously the vocals, it's just got something which sets it apart completely, and the mystique to it. So, yeah, I mean, since I was in my mid-teens, I've been a massive fan of the Elevators. And I was quite surprised when Rocky Erickson was on the bill at Meltdown, because I didn't know that Jarvis Cocker was an Elevators fan. But as you say, all of that kind of ties together really nicely, you know, with just that. I suppose people just appreciate that type of music, you know, in England.
The band's music is best understood, because, again, everybody tries to put labels on the band. So as you're hearing, you know, going places all over the place to play this music, where do you think people really get it?
I mean, if you take America, there's certain pockets which get it, which might be some kind of sort of tie-in with, I mean, certainly Austin is one place where people really appreciate what we do. And but also, I think Scandinavia as well. Yeah, there's some real appreciation of extreme music there. I don't know if it's because of the kind of in the winter to the summer kind of extremes there. Maybe that follows onto the extremes in the taste in music.
Whose idea was it to do these live sessions? Because I know that, for example, the audience, after they hear this interview, is going to have the opportunity to hear an edited version of the concert tonight, which is really kind of innovative, and a lot of bands would never, ever, ever dare, you know, to do something like that. So how did that whole idea start?
Well, when we record, I mean, we always leave in mistakes when we record, you know, so as you're not too precious about it. And I think, you know, obviously the feel of something is by far the most important thing. So yeah, I didn't see it as any kind of risk by having recordings like that. You know, I think it shows the music in a really good light.
And how did you come upon the idea of you know, doing the entire album? When you did you turn around and say, you know what, we're really proud of this work, we really think that cohesively, because some bands would turn around and they would say, well, you know, the audience might not be willing to sit through track number 6 or track number 8 or whatever, but in the end, your albums are very conceptual, which is something that hasn't been done, you know, isn't done that often. People are all about, well, that's the hit track, and then that's going to be, you know, then track 3 is this, but you don't think of your records that way. You think of your records as a whole.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, even more basic than that, we don't kind of try and hide a few crap songs, you know, on 7 and 8 or something, you know. So it's we felt like, say, if you get one that's really raucous, then the next one, if that's quite mellow, works in relation to the previous one, and vice versa. So it seemed like it all stood up, and it was just a way for us to break out of the conventional gig format.
Thank you. recorded equally and in phase on both channels and should provide a central image. Thank you.